Good afternoon. I would like to start by saying thanks to Mark and Imogen for making all this possible for me to come here and share my project experiences with you all. And my topic today is the documentation of the oral history of my own clan, the Mongol Ha clan in China. And before launching into my own the topic, I want to make sure that you understand what I mean by the word clan. Clan here, it's the group of people in China who share a common surname and a common family genealogy or chronicle. Yes. So here, I think you have my handout. If you look at it, then there's some introduction about the ethnicity in China. It's called Mongol, and a little background information about my project. So I'm not going into details about this because I'm racing against time. So, yeah. Here, it's a map of China. You see the blue oval dot between Gansu province in red and Qinghai province in green. So my project actually concerns the the migration of part of my clan from Qinghai province to Gansu province at the beginning of 20th century. Yeah. There are actually two contested academic theories about the origin of our ethnicity. First one is that we're the descendants of the Tuihong branch of the old Shenbei people from Manchuria. And the other is that we are the descendants of the 13th and 14th century Mongol soldiers sent to defend the border regions of their empire. But the actual ethnogenesis of individual Mongol clans remains complicated. Some clans, according to their chronicles and stories, they suggest some Turkish origin and some even Chinese origin. And there's no mention of our clan in official documents, of official records. So out of curiosity, my sister, Taimie, who is now a student at Asian University for Women in Bangladesh, and I started this project. Yeah. So I went to five places. The first two are the original home places of the later three post-migration locations. The first two are in Qinghai province, and the other three are in Gansu province. Yeah. So I'm going to skip this. Yeah. Here, it's a closer look of the region where Mongol people live in. And you see here, it's the original place of our clan, and part of the clan moved to this is Gansu province, so move to that place. Yeah. And here, this is the this is actually the original home place of the Ha clan people in our village, and it's Shihaja village. When I went to this place last, I found that they do not speak their language anymore, and they are officially registered as Han Chinese. And we, here, this is our village, this is my village. My home is actually this one here. Yeah, and we moved away from that place and we came to this place where it's isolated and it's surrounded by Chinese communities, Chinese villages, but we still speak our language and we are officially registered as Mongol people. Yes. And as for the origin of the ethnicity. Some people of our clan. Some people trace back to a Chinese place, Chinese city here. It's called Nanjing. And some people from Beijing who did some research, and he claimed that we are originally from, Kashgar, from Xinjiang. Yes, now I want to talk about the methods and approaches. An important thing about this project is the involvement of local community members. Me and my sister, as local community members, we planned and implemented this project, actually. Yeah, and the fact that we do it is effective in a number of reasons. First, we have access to people, to the places, and we know, like, we collect materials and we know what kind of materials we can publicize and what kind of materials we can, and also we didn't have any language barriers and so on. So, and otherwise we used audio and visual equipment to make records of all interviews. And when we did interviews, we also invited clan members from different villages to come together and talk about their past, because they shared similar life experience and they had common topics. So this way we squeezed out more from their memories. And And here I have some pictures, interviews. So I'm not going to show you the videos because it's too long. So just put some pictures here. It's my village. It's my great grand uncle and his grandson. Actually, he's my uncle still, even he's a little boy. And here is my great uncle and my great aunt and neighbor. Okay, now I want to talk about the reactions. Here are some other pictures, but yeah. Reactions. When I went to the original place of our the original home place, people of course welcomed me, because they said, like, your grandfather couldn't come back and your father couldn't back, and now you have finally come to visit us. So they're very happy. And when I told them about the purpose of my visit, old people liked it. They say it's an act of continuing the family chronicle tradition. And they, of course, complimented and showed interest in future work. Yeah, but the young people, of course, they remained indifferent to what I was doing, and they showed interests mainly in the filming process and everything. Filming. They wanted to get on TVs, but yeah. And they had doubt, of course, in the importance and practicality of the project. They see no a financial benefit, or and they think that it leads to no future prosperity. So, yeah, it's very common in China, actually. Okay, now I want to show you what I did with the materials I collected. So I want to switch from my PowerPoint to interview. Yes, here. So this is an interview with my granduncle. You have in your handout too, so. So here, this is the first line. Here is the transcription of transcription, small. Well, and then second line, it's the grammatical analysis, or glossing. And in the third line, I wanted to put the equivalents of Chinese words, like Mongolian words or Tibetan words, used in our language, but this is a mess now, just ignore that. Yeah. And then that's the free translation in English. Yeah. So this just goes on and on like this. So yeah. And now let me show you another work. So here, this is a program, it's transcriber, I'm sure you know this. Here is the translation, and here are the translation and transcription and translation of the actually one of the interviews. And here I have the I have the imported audio file. So if you click on play audio file, the transcription and translation of whatever being said appears simultaneously there. And here you have the speakers up there. Here, if you can you see that, yeah. Who is talking, and yeah, so you can see that. Now I'm going to just play. So this is just the beginning. I wanted to convince my little uncle to speak Mongol. I wanted to test his Mongol and like that. So okay, now come back to the from the collected materials, I also just finished my bachelor's thesis. It's in Czech, but I didn't have time to translate it into English yet. Yeah. And I also wanted to make the make DVDs and VCDs from the collected interviews. And of course, I want to give these materials or DVDs and VCDs back to the community, because they have now, like people in the countryside, they have DVD players and VCD players, so this is a very convenient way to for them to, you know, to see that. And well, an online database, this is very hard for me. This is very hard for my sister and me. So I don't know if we can. Oh, this is the plan. This is very hard. I don't know how to do that. Yeah. And redistribution. DVDs and VCDs back to the community. So I want to give the interviewees and their relatives and neighbors their own interviews and interviews from other clan members, so they can find each other, like find things out about each other, and in the countryside, people love like VCDs and DVDs. They want to see themselves, and this is the main reason why I'm doing the project, actually, just to and significance. If I have the here, this is the family chronicle. Our family chronicle here, and DVDs and VCDs can serve as supplementary materials to the family chronicle, I think. And this actually continues family chronicle tradition and strengthens clan unity, because they get to find each other and so on, and preserves, because of images and voices, and preserves nice memories of family members and relatives. Yeah. And for future use, this is also important. I want to talk about just a little bit of myself, my own experiences in learning from DVDs and VCDs. When I studied English in China, but before I went in a program called English Teachers Training Program, English Training Program. But before I went to the program, I did not know any Mongol songs or stories or whatever. So I went to this program and I studied with Tibetans. All of my classmates were Tibetans. They could sing, they could dance. For them, it's just very easy. And I had a teacher, who is still and will always be my teacher, named Kevin Stewart. Yes. And he loved parties. He would always invite us over to his house and have us sing our traditional songs. And of course, I didn't know any. And that was very awkward for me, like that situation. The band, they could just open their mouth and start singing, and I couldn't do that. And then he introduced me to a Mongol friend who recorded some Mongol songs and stories from the countryside, and he gave me some of the material. So I saw that. In the beginning, it was hard for me to understand. Even like, sometimes it's hard for you to like, even your own language. Like, you listen to songs, and sometimes you don't understand. So in the beginning, I couldn't understand. I was listening over and over and over, and then I started to understand, and later I started transcribing and translating it. And during the process, I learned like my first Mongol songs and stories. And then I started doing it on my own. I went back to the community and I collected songs and stories. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm going to sing a little song afterwards, but we'll see. Yeah. So the project impacts the fact that Cambridge University funded this project, and the fact that me and my sister, who are the two of the only three university students who ever came out from that village, do the project is reminds people of the importance of knowing their own culture, and suggests their culture has value, and encourages youth to speak their own language. Like in my village, maybe probably our generation is the last generation that still speaks language, but this inspires cultural sensitive villagers too, and help people realize the value of oral transmission, and emphasize the value of education also. And here, that's all I've got.